When you were born into this life, that was a big day. It's your birthday. It's that day that you celebrate annually with your family and your friends, unless you've gotten to an age where you don't care anymore, and so you don't celebrate it anymore. But it's that day when you were brought into this life, your physical birth. And what we learn from Scripture, though, is that there is this problem, though, that we're separated from our Creator at our birth. This might be a difficult idea for us to wrap our minds around if maybe you're new to the Bible or you're new to the church, but it goes like this, that because of the sin of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, Adam and Eve, going all the way back to them, we've inherited through genetics and surroundings a situation of sin. We've just inherited it. We're born into it. We didn't choose it, but this is the situation. And God is holy, and we are not. And so there is a separation from our Creator when we are born into this world. This is what the Scriptures want us to know. However, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 talks about a second birth that occurs to solve this problem and to take us to a better place and situation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him." And so what you heard read from Ezekiel and then 1 John and the Gospel of John is there is this idea of being born of God, reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this Holy Spirit that raised Jesus again from the dead also then is poured out into our lives and then raises us again from the dead. So we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins, according to the sinful nature that we had. But then, what the Scriptures declare is that by the resurrection of Jesus, we experience spiritual resurrection. New birth. It's also called in the Scriptures, regeneration. So, just so you know, like, we believe in being born of the Holy Spirit. This is something we believe in. All Christians believe in this. It's not just something that one Christian group hijacked for themselves, but like we all believe this, being born by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this happened when you heard the gospel and believed in it, or when you were baptized into Jesus Christ. Scripture says that in baptism you were buried and then raised with Christ. Romans 6, Colossians 2 says this. Now, for some people, they fall away after their baptisms. Perhaps they disown Jesus, and maybe they need to come back. But for those of you who, you know, didn't do that, and you're still on the path with Christ, you get to rejoice in this new birth in your life that has happened. You have a new Heavenly Father, okay? You have a Heavenly Father. He's God. He's your Father now, and now you have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And it says this, that everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And so what happens then is you've had this experience happen to you, and then you love everybody else that also God has granted this to as well. Because you know how great it is to be brought from death to life, from sin to grace in your life. So when you see others that have also had the experience, you rejoice. So in college, after I was brought back to the promises of my baptism. So I got baptized, but then at some point I started to drift away and live a lifestyle that was not what Jesus wanted, and I kind of went my own way. God brought me back, and then after He brought me back, I was really excited because I was dead. And now Jesus made me alive, and I was really happy. And so when I met other people, when I was an engineer at my job that were also Christians, we immediately had affinity because they had that same experience too. They believe in Jesus too, so there's great affinity. When I traveled to Mexico, Dominican Republic, to Lebanon, to Europe, whenever I traveled, I also would meet people that were Christians. They followed Jesus. They have faith in Jesus. And so there's great affinity because we all have the same Father born by the power of the Holy Spirit into the family. And also, here's the really cool thing. This is an eternal family. Okay, so we're going to be with each other forever. In heaven, people from every tribe, nation, language, all the people that have trusted in Christ will be there forever and ever. We'll be together forever. And so also in our context, when people get saved from death to life, when people get baptized in this service, when people renew their faith through the membership class, we call that the gospel class, it's an opportunity for you who are seasoned members or who are already members of the church, already followers of Christ, to, after the service or whenever you get the opportunity, to welcome them into the church, to get to know their names. It says, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. And so you get to meet them and welcome them and greet them and thank God for what He did to them in their lives. Okay, also 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 will then talk about, not only, it's going to take it a step further, so we're born again into a family by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love everyone in the family, but then it talks about this. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. And so then that raises the question of, how does obeying commandments also translate into loving the children of God, loving other Christians? What's the relationship between obedience and loving other Christians? And so I'm going to, since John is using the illustration of family, being born into a family, I'm going to use some illustrations from my family. The great thing about being a dad is now I have a lifetime of illustrations to use, and that's really cool and fun. And you've already heard all the Miriam and Layla illustrations, but we're going to give you a couple more. So sometimes when I'm trying to get my point across to Miriam and Layla, I will say, Miriam, if you love mommy and daddy, you'll do what we say, right? Have you ever used that? Okay. Sometimes I'll say that. Now, Jesus says the same thing. In the Gospels, He'll say, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Now, obviously the difference between us and Jesus is we're sinful parents, whereas Jesus and the Father don't have that problem, so it's not exactly the same. But that's the idea in your relationship to God, in that when you are obedient to God, you're loving God, and then you're also able to love your brother or your sister in Christ. And so, here's an example. There's a video that my daughters like to watch. I think it's like a Cinderella movie. And for some reason, Cinderella gets a cat, and the cat's name is Lucifer. Okay? So if you ever get a cat or a dog, just by the way, don't call them Lucifer. That's the devil's name. So you don't want to name, like if you have a pet, think of another name. It's like if you have a son, don't name him Judas. Okay? You know, name them something else. Like Lucifer and Judas are off-limit names. But anyway, in the video, the Cinderella tells the cat at some point, I don't know the context, but Cinderella tells the cat, you mean old thing. Okay? And so what do you think a 5-year-old and 3-year-old are going to do with that? They just repeat that. And so then whenever Miriam would just get kind of going with something, she'll just say, you mean old thing. And so she'll say, if she's ever upset with Layla, she'll be like, you mean old thing. She's at school or wherever she's at, you mean old thing. And so we had to say, hey, we want to be kinder in our words and what we say to other people. And then you get to be a good example for Layla, your little sister. And so thanks be to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. They aren't saying that anymore. We're working on other things. But so the idea, though, is that Miriam, as the older sister, is able to be an example to her younger sister in what she's saying. It's just the same idea in the family of God, and that when we have knowledge of God and we are living out what God wants us to do in our lives, we're also examples to the rest of the brothers and sisters in the family of God. Or we can be bad examples and then bad witnesses, and then this damages the integrity of the family of Jesus. But the first thing to know is that we have to know what God wants. Can you know what God wants if you never hear from God? You can't. It's just like if you have a relationship with somebody, like that relationship wouldn't be very strong if you never heard anything from them. No phone call, no email, no text message, no nothing, no communication. 1 John 4:7 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." I want to really highlight that idea of knowing God. We have to know God before we can obey God and love others. Because if we don't know what thoughts, what words, what actions, what lifestyles, what things in life are pleasing to this God, then we're not going to be able to grow and to obey Him and then love others the way He wants us to love. And so the way that we hear from our God is to hear the preaching of the Word on Sundays, also reading your Bible throughout the weeks. What you're doing is you're getting knowledge of this God, knowledge of the Heavenly Father who grants you new birth by the Holy Spirit into His family so that you can delight in His commandments in your life and love the people around you. And I want to say this, it's not just about knowing the right things, though. It's about also that translating and displaying into a life of love and a lifestyle that exemplifies following Jesus. So it's not just about knowing the right doctrine, knowing the right teachings, but also those doctrines and those teachings making a difference into how you actually live your life. Bede, he's also known as Saint Bede or the Venerable Bede, an 8th century monk that lived in Great Britain, said this, it's a really cool quote, "Only someone who is on fire with the love of his Maker can be said to love his fellow humans in the right way." And so the more we get to know our Maker and how much He loves us, that translates into loving others, not with just this lenient whatever idea of love we have, but of a discerning devotion. We've talked about that in this series, a discerning devotion of what love is and how He wants us to love others. And so, for example, there are many who profess to know Christ, okay? There are many who do. For example, have you ever seen those who have businesses, but then on their business cards, they have the fish sign? That's a popular thing in Roseburg. I noticed that. And so now, it doesn't necessarily mean that those people are fakes or not. That's not, you know, necessarily what I want you to take away from this example. But sometimes, if you've had a bad experience or dishonesty from someone who put the fish on their business card, but then they lied to you or deceived you, then what does that do for the name of Jesus Christ? And what does that do for trusting others who say that they're Christians? And so with our obedience to God and our love for God, it makes a difference to the rest of the children of God. You put that thing on there, the children of God want to trust that you really believe that. And so also, when I was living in Port Orchard, Washington, I decided that I wanted to get roommates. And so I was single at the time. And so I put a flyer at a local church that was close to my home, and it was a bigger church, so I thought there might be some people there that would want to rent a room from me. And then, so what happened is a couple people responded to this flyer from a church. So I'm thinking, hey, these are church people, right? Okay, and then I get to know them, and they say, yeah, they follow Christ, and they believe in Christ, they described it all to me, and so that's great. We have that affinity, right? But then two people from the same church never paid their rent, you know? And so you'd think that these people who are just now, they're of the truth, right? They're followers of the truth, and they tell the truth. Okay, they said they were going to pay, but there's like three guys I can think of off the top of my head. None of them paid, like three of them. That's a lot. Okay, like if you're a Christian and you go and you you say, I want to rent from you, and you say, you're going to pay, like, you need to pay. If you don't, you're not really displaying being a follower of Christ. Also, with all these examples I'm about to give right here, don't think about your friend that's a hypocrite. I want you to think about yourself right now. Okay, so where in your life are you, could you be a better display of being a Christian? Okay, it's going to be easy. Churches can really do an easy job of sitting in the pews and pointing the finger. Okay, let's not be that church. Let's reflect on this for ourselves, okay? Where can we be better? Also, my wife, when she was growing up attending a youth group in Centennial, Colorado, her youth leader was listening to some music that was maybe not the best witness for her at that time. And so this example has to do with those of you who are in Christian leadership, or you are in a mentoring relationship, or you're trying to be an example for the people around you. We have to think about as Christians, like, how is this going to look to my other brothers and sisters in Christ, or non-believers, if they see that this is what I'm about? And so this kind of was a damaging thing for my wife, Daisy, when she was a teenager, because she's like, why is my youth leader listening to, like, heavy metal? You know, for her, it was, you know, just kind of a stumbling block. Okay, now, also, let me put it like, now, some of you are like, heavy metal, I know, rock and roll. It's going deeper than that, you guys, you know? So what we're interested in says something about who we are, and it also puts on a display. You know, like, one of our friends says he's a follower of Christ. On his Facebook page, he put, like, his favorite movie was The Wedding Crashers. Okay? So I don't know if you've seen that. Maybe half the room has and half the room hasn't. But basically, it's a movie that just glorifies adultery and makes it kind of funny. Okay? That's really what it is. Now, if you're a Christian, you say, this is my favorite movie. It's probably not the best witness for the people around you. So let's read this verse again. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. So are you seeing the relationship between obedience and then also loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? I prayed a lot about whether or not I was going to bring this one up, but I believe that God wants me to, and this is my calling, is also when somebody in the body of Christ needs a ride to church, that's an opportunity for us to also love the children of God. That's somebody who can't make it on their own. And so maybe we're trained to think of conveniences. We want to do what's convenient, and so maybe that makes us have to wake up 5 minutes earlier or 15 minutes earlier, depending where we live. But God wants us to be on fire with the love of our Maker to the point where, like, there should be more than one person that's volunteering to give this person a ride. Also, there's people who are suffering, who are in need of meals. We have a meal ministry that was organized so we can tackle this issue in an organized way. So if like a woman is on bed rest, you know, she's not able to cook for her family, for example, or if a mother has a child who has all of their bones breaking in their body, these are real examples, by the way, she can't leave the house and she's stuck at home with her child that's suffering with bones breaking. The reason why I'm bringing up meal ministry is this is a ministry at our church where there is not a lot of participation. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. I could call Barbara Campbell and Fran Mueller to get a meal, right? I'm trying to get over the Barbara Campbell, Fran Mueller addiction. For those of you who are new to our church, Barbara Campbell and Fran Mueller are very active. And I want to be honoring to them and honoring to all those who are very active in displaying the love of Jesus to the people around him. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for those of you who are participating. And so I want to encourage those of you who maybe are not participating and displaying that love. Martin Luther says, love is not an idle thing. It's not an idle thing. But it compels you to action to those that are in need. Continuing in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not a burden. Maybe we think that they're a burden. So one time, it was my first time going camping with a friend in the Bremerton area, and he had this big old backpack on. It was huge. It looked heavy. It looked like a big burden. Jesus wants you to know that his commandments are not a big burden. It's more like a small backpack. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What causes us to think that God's commandments are a big burden is our sinful nature. And so even after we're born of the Holy Spirit, we still have a sinful nature too. We're simultaneously saint and sinner. Sinner and someone who has the Holy Spirit in them at the same time. And so it's not that going and picking somebody up is a burden. It's not that hard to do. Or making double the portion of your dinner and all you got to do is drop it off and then leave. It's not like that's hard to do. What makes it hard is our sinful natures. Sometimes that's what Miriam's going to get another example, is she'll say, Mommy and Daddy, I want to do what's right. I really want to do what you tell me, but it's hard for me. Okay? It's hard for us, too, with the Heavenly Father's commandments. The reason is because we have a sinful nature. He doesn't want us, he just wants us to love others. Someone after worship the other Sunday said, Pastor, loving is the most easiest thing we can do. That's what John's saying. It's not a burden, but we make it a burden by our sinful natures. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What does he want you to know? You've overcome the world. What does that mean in 1 John? Check out 1 John 2:16 with me. Remember, he said this, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, those are the desires of our sinful, selfish nature. The desires of the eyes, the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. All of that stuff brings us down and then disables us from actually loving others. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so when John says that this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, what he means is that by faith, we've overcome the devil and we've overcome our sinful nature and the pride in possessions and the world order that we live in that seeks to bring us down and make it all about us so that we can't love God or love people. Why can he say this, such a powerful thing about our faith? The reason is because of the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. Jesus has overcome sin, death, and the devil on our behalf, and he saves us, abides in us, and the victory has been won. The other day I was watching a movie called Young Guns. Remember that movie? It came out in 1988. I was watching that again because I remember liking it when I was 8 years old in 1988. And I watched it again, and at the end of the movie, Emilio Estevez is the good guy, kind of. And then at the end of the movie, he shoots the bad guy, and he says, the war is over. It's the same way with the resurrection of Jesus. He triumphs. He overcomes the devil. The war is over with the devil. It will be finally won when he comes again. But here's what you need to know. The victory is yours in Jesus by faith. And then when you mess up, he is your advocate, John says, before the Father, because he died for your sins. Also, John says he's the Christ. That means he's the Savior. You don't go to heaven by how well you love others. This is the good news for us, that we go to heaven because Jesus has saved you from your sin, from death, from the devil. Also, then, This Jesus that is your Savior then abides in you. Yes, it's hard to do what God says all the time. It is because of our sinful nature. But here's the good news. Jesus abides in you. He lives inside of you, and he works through you then to do the good. And so what we need a little bit more of, that we all need, is faith in this Jesus that lives in us to do the good. I'll close with John 16, verse 33. Take these words to heart. Jesus says this, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation because of sin and because of the effects of sin. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ, who loves you, here are your take homes for this morning, is Jesus who loves you. He now lives in you so that you display your faith by loving others with a life, with your lifestyle and with your service. You display that love in those ways. And then also, Jesus, who has overcome, this is probably not exactly what's up there, but Jesus, who has overcome sin and the devil on your behalf, abides in you so that you can love others as he works through you to those around you. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts, guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.